and welcome back to Creativity in Chaos, a 1L2N podcast. I am Amy, and I think that the superior way to have toast is you butter it and you put some cinnamon sugar on it. You kind of like let it all melt in there, because then it's like you get the sweetness, you get a little spice with the cinnamon, and it's a little savory with the butter, because I usually do salted butter myself. I just think it's really nice, and it's just like a nice light treat. It's really yummy. Really enjoy it. I think it's one of those classic things. Yeah, see, honestly, I feel like people who grew up in poor houses, like that's usually what they really enjoyed, is just like the simple things, right? So like buttered toast in general is pretty spot on, but like buttered toast with cinnamon sugar, oh, you getting fancy with it. And people who grew up with not so much money, they understand what I'm talking about. They know the vibe. They understand. They're like, yes, give me that cinnamon sugar toast. But I think even if I wasn't poor, I would still do the cinnamon sugar toast, because it's just so good. If you haven't tried it, you should definitely try it. I'm telling you, it is just absolutely fantastic.
I mean, if we're talking about bread products here, we need to bring in the OG. Hi, I'm Tommy, by the way. Bagels.
Oh my goodness, I love my bagels.
You just toast that boy. And if you've watched any previous episodes, you know I'm a bagel enthusiast. I mention it here and there, but damn, when you toast a bagel and then you put cream cheese on it, you're like, okay, that's pretty normal. But top it off with some Cheez-Its. Call me crazy. That shit slaps. It is unbelievable. And I highly recommend it to anyone and everyone. Do it.
Yo, I'm here too.
We're a family. We're a family of bread lovers going through that store writing process. But it seems it's just the three of us and we're all kind of tired. At least I am. It's going to be a little bit more chaos today. We're bringing you along for the ride.
I know it's just you two here, and I've already discussed this with Liam, but I watched this, I don't know if you can classify it as an anime, this Netflix series was animated, it was called Blue Eye Samurai. It was an interesting watch. The best way I can personally describe it is the most horrible adult version of Mulan. And it's not necessarily one-to-one Mulan. It has extremely similar elements, and it's brutal, and it deals with tons of adult topics, and I liked it. I didn't love it, but I liked it. There's things I liked and there's things I didn't like, but I'm looking forward to season two, and I cannot wait for it to come out. It was a good watch.
And you cannot wait for Netflix to cancel the show and inevitably not have
they already said a second season is coming.
Okay.
So I'm here for it.
That's crazy.
What Ryan Gosling movie did you watch this week?
Today called The Gray Man. Came out a year or two ago. Some action movie starring Ryan Gosling and Chris Evans. And what's that one girl's name? She's like everywhere now.
Anya Taylor-Joy?
No, she's like not American. I forgot her name.
Okay.
Not the other one. She was in Blade Runner as well with Ryan Gosling.
Oh yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Ana de Armas?
Yeah, her. Honestly, the whole stack, almost the entire cast was really stacked. But those were like the three main people. It was a movie, man. There wasn't much to say about it. It's like your classic action movie, but it tried to be different. And it should have worked, but it didn't. And I don't know why. I think it took itself a little too seriously. Like, they were cracking jokes here and there, but they could have been a bit more less serious with the way they did things. And it wasn't even serious in like, oh, it was a huge like stakes. It was really small stakes. It was everything. It was like a spy movie or action, I don't know, something like that. But it was good and all. It tried to do something unique. It seemed like that they were trying to make a tiny franchise, maybe a part two or even a trilogy out of it, but the reviews weren't good enough for that. But yeah, it was really complicated. It was just an action movie. I mean, it's good and all. I would recommend, if you're ever like bored one day and you want to watch something, got a bunch of actors you may like, and it'll be something that you can talk about or be like, yeah, I watched Psalm in this as well.
What's your rating?
Rating? A 6.6 to a 7.2.
They gave him the scale.
Honestly, maybe I just wasn't in the mood for it, but then I remembered, oh, I have to watch a movie, so I guess I'll watch one. Because I feel like it's better than it was.
Yes, it is a self-imposed role for sure.
I feel like it was a better movie than I made it out to be. But I think you got to watch it. It has the dude who played Pablo Escobar in it. There's a bunch of people in it, man. It's a wild movie. And it's got good action. I won't lie. It's got good action. And it's got an interesting enough soundtrack. But it's not the most amazing thing I've seen. You know?
Okay, besides a scale, it's a recommendation, correct?
I would recommend it because it has at least, you'll at least have one actor in there that you'll like. So you can at least hold on to that no matter what else. Oh, wow, this is
like really new.
It's a very, yeah, it came out like, what, last year?
Oh.
2 years ago?
Oh, yeah, okay.
I recommend it because it's got a stat cast and you'll be able to say or will be whatever, like, oh, yeah, I saw them in this or whatever, you know, or saw them in that. But I recommend because if you're bored one day, it's not bad enough. So it's like you can still find enjoyment from it. But it's also like, oh, that's interesting. Oh, that's interesting. You know, I don't know. It's something where you can find your own enjoyment out of it. And that's really much of what I have to say about that.
The directors, the Russo brothers,
mm-hmm.
they seem to really take a liking to action specifically.
Yeah, they are pretty good at action.
Yeah, was their directing style good with action in this movie? Do you feel like, yeah, they...
Yes.
Okay.
Though I think the action kind of went on a little too long a couple times, it was still good enough. And it was still interesting enough. I had gunplay, really nice gunplay, like John Wick. Not quite as good, but close enough to be like, okay, that's pretty interesting. It's pretty good. And it had a lot of interesting, unique sequences that are a bit different than what you usually see. And it's also, Ryan Gosling is able to play it off in such a Ryan Gosling way of how nonchalant everything is. And he also tries to find some kind of quippy joke out of everything, which I find funny. If you're out of ideas of what to watch, it's an easy to consume. It's an easy to consume movie.
That's good to know.
Very easy to consume.
On a totally separate side note, is there any piece of media that you so thoroughly enjoyed that you wanted to know more about it? Like, want to read fan fiction or want to see what people on Reddit were saying about it or want to watch video or fan edits or theories about it? Like, is there something that would really, like, has really sparked your interest where you're like, yeah, I know, I got to know all the lore and all the fan-made theories. I need to know more about this.
There used to be something for me. I can't think of something now, but this says a lot about me. Unfortunately, Overwatch. Unfortunately, Overwatch.
No way.
No way. There's some things where it's like, specifically for video games, when I'm playing a video game and I really, really enjoy it and I love the gameplay, I just want to delve into the lore. And Overwatch, I think, was really good starting out at like popularizing voice lines. So they would always have characters interacting with each other before a match. And that was always so interesting because it gave you just a tidbit of be like, oh, I want to care about this lore. It just made me so much more interested in the lore itself. It was the golden age of Blizzard. All their cinematics were mwah. They were so, so good. Even if you don't like a lot of Blizzard stuff, you've probably seen a lot of Blizzard cinematics. So I was watching the cinematics. I was reading all the comics that were coming out. I was watching every like dev update. There was a sad thing when Jeff went. Oh my gosh, Jeff was the director of Overwatch. Of course, it's Jeff. That's funny as hell. Like, oh, and then he wasn't the director. Oh, so heartbreaking. When he left, so did my interest for Overwatch. That was gone. But I think Overwatch, it's one of those things where it transcends the game and it's like, okay, the lore that you've built up here is interesting. Not so much anymore, but used to be. Liam, I know you got one.
I got a lot. I was actually having a talk with Tommy and some other friends. I was talking about how much I love lore. Lore is really good, and I enjoy it throughout all walks. If you make something interesting enough with interesting characters, interesting story, interesting background, I'm going to get into that. Okay, and there's a bunch of lores I love. Like, Warhammer has insanely great lore, one of the most extensive universes, one of the greatest. Star Wars has insane lore. And I've gone really far into digging out both of those universes and reading books illegally online, watching videos, doing a bunch of stupid stuff. I was too into these universes, but I don't think I've ever gone as deep as I have with Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones, I've read all the books, or almost all the books. I've watched all the videos, all the fan theories. I watched reaction videos to stuff. I was going crazy with it. I still am. I loved Game of Thrones so much, especially those first few seasons were just so good. I don't think I'll ever watch anything, at least not anytime soon, as good as it. It's just a huge letdown that everybody knows the later seasons slowly got worse and worse. But my thing Game of Thrones is that one, the world of the Song of Ice and Fire, there's so much more. And the farther away from Westeros, the more mystical and the more high fantasy it gets. Like, especially in Essos, it gets crazier. And then beyond the places, like, we only see Western Essos in the series. But when you get to Eastern Essos, they talk more about it in the books, and there's more lore that's sprinkled around. It gets crazy. It gets crazier than Lord of the Rings. Like, it's some actual wild stuff that's going on in other places around the world other than Westeros, which is why a lot of people want stories that's not focused on Westeros or the time period that we know. I love Game of Thrones. I love the world. I'm usually more interested in the worlds than the actual stories themselves. For instance, Star Wars. Star Wars isn't that great of a story. There's some good bits and pieces, but overall, it's whatever. It hasn't been amazingly executed, but the world, the universe is what's super interesting, the potential of it. And that's why I think the potential of Game of Thrones and the different societies and how unique they are to each other, the different, you know, way people act, the way people dress, the way people interact with each other, their different taboos and stuff is very interesting. The fact that this was all thought of to be implemented into just one world. That's just kind of my thing.
Weren't you also really into Five Nights at Freddy's?
I was into Five Nights at Freddy's a while ago. It wasn't as extensive. I mean, it's a lot deeper than it looks on the surface. Because it's not just about a pizzeria. It goes way deeper than that, which is why so many people loved it and why it has such a cult following, because of how crazy, deep, and secretive everything was. But it's not the best. Like, it's good for what it's trying to be, but I'm more interested in huge, expansive universes, while Five Nights at Freddy's is a lot more condensed into a certain area and genre. While something like the world of Ice and Fire and the world of Star Wars, they're not condensed to one genre. They can be, there's so many different things going on that it can be a bunch of different stuff.
That is the one thing I'll give for, like, mega franchises like that, is the world is so big that you can just have whatever genre and it will work. I mean, I look at Star Wars, you have Ahsoka, and then you have something like Andor, and then you have something like Visions. Those are three completely different just TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
Or Clone Wars, too. There's a fourth one. They're all 100% completely different, and I love when something like that can expand and just be like, let's try something new with this IP. Because I think that's the most enjoyment that I get, because Star Wars is something, it's the battle versus good versus evil. That's all it has ever been. And to me, those types of stories, it's not that they're bad, it's just they don't get interesting to me because I've seen them so much. And Star Wars loves going back to that. But then when you can expand in a genre like that, it's like, oh, Star Wars is the perfect place to do that. It tickles every right part of my brain when you see, like, a different colored lightsaber, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Would you guys rather see Game of Thrones characters in a Star Wars universe or Star Wars characters in a Game of Thrones universe?
Do you mean, like, Darth Vader shows up in Westeros with, like, a lightsaber and, like, an army? Or do you mean the character type shows up with, like,
whatever, like, so say if Darth Vader is in Game of Thrones, it would be Darth Vader's character, but Game of Thronesified.
Yeah, okay. I like that.
Yeah.
Game of Thrones characters in Star Wars, for sure.
Yeah, I'd have to say that. A Game of Thrones Star Wars would probably be the greatest thing that there's ever been.
I mean, it's funny, those directors.
Yeah, it is. It is funny. But literally thinking about a Game of Thrones-like story with those character arcs and character types, but in the Star Wars universe, instead of having it in one continent, you have it in an entire galaxy. It's like,
you could probably still have dragons, too.
Yeah, you can have a bunch of crazy stuff. Like, oh, that would gosh. Be, it Force would be dragons, insane. Guys. It would be crazy. I would love that. I would love that. I know a lot of people are thinking that's kind of what Dune is, but I would want it in a bit more simplified, but also expansive way. Because Dune, it's like, there's only a few planets, and it's very hard to travel and stuff. While in Star Wars, it's obviously a lot different. There's, like, at least three planets every movie.
Dune is so wonderfully and interestingly, like, grounded for the mm-hmm. time that it was created.
Yeah. It's like 20,000 years in the future, and it's not like this craziness is happening everywhere. It's like it was well thought out to make it understandable, but also extremely advanced.
It was created in 1965, which is, I guess, kind of like the height of the idea of, like, oh, AI bad, or using AI bad in movies and stuff like that, just, like, constantly. Frank Herbert. I love the way he just like bans AI straight out the gate. Just like no sight of it. So it's still very recognizable to us, but in this weird future fashion. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's done in such an interesting...
I love it because it's not the hyper futuristic crazy stuff like Futurama is. It's like technology is no more, you know? Like technology, the way we know it, was banned and destroyed a long time ago. And so they're finding their own ways of advancement. It's just crazy, you know?
It's like it's gone... I guess it is kind of a mix of Star Wars and Game of Thrones in that sense. Like, everyone's gone back selling their loyalty to a specific house, which is usually on a planet. Like, that planet is that house. And I love it. Give me more.
It is... one of the most creative things... When I first watched Dune, one of the most crazy and creative things I ever thought of was... that technology got so advanced that we went back to hand-to-hand combat, which is one of my favorite and most unique things ever. Because, like, if you think about it, like, 20,000 years in the future, like, trying to just comprehend what kind of crazy weapons and tools we would have could break your mind. Because just thinking about what we've done in the last few decades or last few centuries is already, like, unimaginable. So...
Yeah, from 1924 to now, you're like, oh, wow.
Yeah, exactly. So instead, it was written around that, and it was made a really good judgment and really good call to make it like, oh yeah, it's technology so advanced that the only way we have is go back to the primitive ways of using hand-to-hand combat, which is also a bit more interesting than a gunfight, you know, at least to me.
I think in a story, it's more interesting.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. Now, Amy, you didn't answer any of these questions. You didn't answer...
Because no one asked me.
When you ask a question, you're also supposed to answer.
You're allowed to answer it.
You're supposed to answer
it. Now you answer it.
I definitely think Game of Thrones in a Star Wars universe, just because I feel like they would have more material to work with, whereas they're just working with essentially a continent. I mean, yeah. I know there's like other continents or whatever, but they're essentially working with a single continent and very little lore. Whereas if they had planets to work with and lots of this lore, I think it would be a really, really cool story. As far as being obsessed or like wanting to know more lore, you would think I would say pirates, but actually I didn't want to know. I just wanted more of anything to do with pirates. I didn't necessarily want Pirates of the Caribbean lore. I wanted anything to do with anything that had to do with pirates. So, I mean, I guess you could say that, but basically if a book had pirates in it, I was like, give it to me. I want to read it. But I'd say as far as like trying to find more lore and like learn more about it, Twilight, weirdly enough, I love hearing about different theories and stuff about Twilight. I've read so many fan fictions of Twilight and I was obsessed. I was utterly obsessed with Twilight. I would say Critical Role's Dungeons and Dragons, just because there's so much lore there to discover, and hearing people's fan theories is just really, really fun. But it's also hard with that one because you're in the process of watching, like the story is still being told. And so it's a little different when the story is being told because fan theories are happening about stuff that's like currently going on, whereas stuff like Twilight is no longer being written. So the fan theories are like, I wonder if this is actually this. And so I feel like the theories can be a little different. And then Call of Duty right now for me, even though I've never played I've played COD Mod 2. I thought it was COD Mod 3, but it was COD Mod 2. But other than that, I haven't played anything Call of Duty, but TikTok got me obsessed with these stupid masked men. And now I want to know everything I can about them.
That's all you can think about.
I'm sure that there are others because I feel like I'm the kind of person that when I like something, I dive headfirst into it and I want to know everything about it. Oh, there's a series. It's called, ACOTAR. It's A Court of Thorns and Roses. And I really, really enjoy that series. That one's still being written as well. Really like hearing people delve into their fan theories and I like reading fan fiction and stuff about it. But that one in particular is interesting because I started reading it when it wasn't very popular. So there wasn't very much like hype around it. But now it's like exploded with popularity. And I almost don't want to delve into it because a lot of people's obsession is so cringy because of how obsessed they are. And I know how cringy my obsession was with Twilight. And I don't want to go back there again and be that obsessed again. So I'm like, lurker from the shadows. Like, I look at what people are saying, but I'm not like, oh, I need the updates. Who posts? How does the new post come out? That kind of thing. But of course, all of mine is like fantasy and stuff. So
that's, I mean, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with being obsessed with a little bit of fantasy. That's the thing is, I think it's harder to do something serious and entertaining that's set in like our time than it is to do something that's fantasy, because fantasy, it's just your imagination. It's whatever you set your imagination to whilst doing other grounded stories, which is why I love grounded stories. I love realistic stories because I feel like I can delve into those worlds because they're so closely related to real life. But it's hard to make those interesting because you can so much more easily judge them than be like, well, yeah, it's fantasy. There's new rules. There's new guidelines.
Yeah, I agree, because I feel like there is no guidelines with fantasy. You can do whatever you want. Exactly. One other one that I was obsessed with is very niche. It's called Tin Man, and it was a sci-fi retelling of The Wizard of Oz. And sci-fi, like the TV channel, it was a retelling of The Wizard of Oz, and it was so good. And it was basically like, I think Dorothy's daughter or something, but she doesn't know, or granddaughter. I don't know. It was like way in the future of The Wizard of Oz happening. And the Tin Man himself, it was actually like a cop. He was like a disgraced cop that got tinned, and basically he was turned into metal because he was like, it was like punishment. I just really liked their spin on it. I thought it was really interesting. And that, oh man, did I delve heavily into that. I just thought it was so fascinating, and probably read as much fan fiction as I did with Twilight, which was an ungodly amount. But yeah, Tin Man was really good as well. I think that was all the questions I asked. I don't know if I asked another question.
Is there something that you guys want to eventually delve into that you're like, I could see myself delving into this, just not now. But I like want to, just not now.
Are you talking about as far as like a series goes?
Doesn't matter what it is. Any type of like, oh, I guess actually, did we talk about this? We talked about what we're looking forward to in 2024, correct?
I don't think we did.
Thought we did, but maybe not.
Yeah, well, I mean, what are you guys looking forward to in 2024? I think there's a decent chunk of movies coming out. I mean, like Dune 2, we talked about Dune 2. Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. Hans Zimmer always hits hard with the second. I mean, I cannot wait to have my ears absolutely booty blasted in the theaters when I go watch it. Like, my entire soul is going to rumble. I already know it. A worm's going to come on screen, and literally the theater is going to be shaking, and I cannot wait.
Well, I mean, yeah, obviously we're all looking forward to Dune 2. That's the most anticipated movie for the year so far.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, it's Dune 2. I'm looking more forward to shows than movies. So this year looks a lot better for shows, at least to me. Like the second half of Invincible season 2 coming out this summer. I look forward to that. We got The Boys season 4 coming out.
Mm-hmm.
I look forward to that. House of the Dragon season 2 coming out. I look forward to that. We got Bad Batch season 3 coming out. I look forward to that.
Season 3, interesting.
We got Andor season 2 coming out.
Ain't no way they're doing a season 2. Okay.
And they also got Tales of the Jedi season 2. I look forward to that. All these continuations of shows that I love. The weirdest one is Invincible season 2, which got booty blasted because it took them years to make season 2. And we only get one half. And now we're going to have to wait months until we get the second half of season 2. I'm like, dude, this story is so long and extensive. How long is it going to take to get season 3 is not coming out until like next decade or something at this point.
I would have liked personally if they didn't split it into two, or if they were going to split it into two. I think they were doing it for like, oh, we'll have it done by then. But then they didn't. I didn't mind how they did Stranger Things splitting that into two, because it was like all four episodes out here, and then the next four episodes are out like a month from now. Okay, cool. That works for me. But like this, what? Isn't this like November to next summer? That's crazy.
Yeah, it's really, really long time from now. And I think it's really stupid, in my opinion. If you weren't ready to release the second half of a season, then don't release the first half of a season. I think it's pretty simple, because all the hype of the first half is now, it's going to be dissipated. It's going to be gone by the time the second half is coming out. And it doesn't make any sense. There's also, I think the second half is supposed to be coming out around the time of The Boys season 4 is coming out.
Okay, logically speaking, I think Andor is, for me personally, that's Star Wars' best product. I love it. I absolutely love it. don't think it needs a second season. And wasn't it one of like the worst performing Star Wars products?
A lot of people loved it. A lot of people loved it. It's a very loved show. I mean, some people hate it just because it's different, but there it's very loved. It's definitely one of the best doing shows that of recent history, of recent Star Wars. I mean, obviously not as good as like Clone Wars or Mandalorian, but other than that, I can't think of anything else that outdoes Andor.
I knew when I saw that trailer for the first scene, I'm like, this looked goofy. I'm like, who watching the man from Rogue One? I thought it was going to be a sleeper to me.
I heard the show was announced. And I was like, no way they're doing this, bro. This is not it. This is not good. They're just making shows for the sake of making shows at this point.
Yeah, I agree.
That's what I thought, too.
And then I saw the trailer and I was like, this might have potential. This, I thought the trailer looked good. Looking back at it, I'm like, yeah, this, cause it showed like inner workings of the Empire. It showed like on undersideness of the world instead of focusing on the big main picture, which is why I liked it. And then the show came out and that's exactly what it was. And I was like, oh, this is nice. The one thing that got me is that Boba Fett and Obi-Wan had just come out right before Andor. And those were the two of the biggest clusterfucks and train wrecks I've ever seen of any main story of any major franchise. They were horrendous, bruh. It's hard to get more disappointing than those two shows. I mean, they literally got two of the most beloved characters of probably the most famous franchise of all time, and they destroyed them molecularly down. It was horrendous. And then Andor came back for the greatest comeback clutch of all time in Star Wars history.
This was like the underdog. I was not expecting this before. I'm like, okay, if Disney's smart, they're going to pour their good ones into the Obi-Wan show. That makes sense to me.
Exactly. I'm like, if Boba Fett and Obi-Wan failed, there's no way Andor's making it out, man. There's no way Andor's doing well.
It doesn't make sense. Like, have you ever had that with another piece of media? Or something like this. I did not particularly like his character in Rogue One. Now, I wasn't necessarily a fan of Rogue One when I watched it. I haven't watched it since, so maybe that would change. Point is, wasn't a fan of him. So when I saw this, I was like, not going to be a fan of this. But then everyone started recommending it, and I watched it. I love his character in this. It's turned me completely around to the idea of his character and his place in the Star Wars universe. Do you think there is another character or set of characters in any universe that you had a 180 on?
I mean, Ahsoka, kind of. We're talking about Star Wars. She started off horrendous in season one of Clone Wars. She was easily one of the worst parts. And then she became easily like top five, maybe top three favorite Star Wars character by the end of Clone Wars. Going back to Game of Thrones, Jaime Lannister, he was the worst. In season one,
you're right.
He was absolutely horrendous.
Huge 180.
And by towards the end of the show, he became easily one of the best, no doubt.
I guess for me, it's the opposite. I mean, I guess a lot of characters have had this anti-arc, but Barry from Barry, he had an anti-arc for me. I loved his character, but swiftly went downhill. I mean, you hate his character, and that's done by design. By pretty much the very end of it, you're just like, oh, I'm disgusted with you. Amy, have you ever had a 180 on a character besides the 100?
Yeah, because I 180 on those characters all the time.
Yeah, it's every season.
Every episode. I'd be pivoting. Yeah. You're like, Bellamy again.
I can't think of like TV shows and movies right now. I'm like so stuck on books. So there's this character named Lorkin, who is just this evil bastard who is essentially tied to the evil Fae Queen. And even though he was still an evil bastard, he wound up helping the heroes. And because there's something in him that just couldn't not help the heroes. And I was like, yeah. And so like the whole time you're like, this asshole, this, okay. He's a little bit of a, well, you know what? I think I kind of like him. So, and then by the end, you're like, oh, my sweet baby boy. So yeah, it's definitely Lorkin. That was the Throne of Glass series.
Oh, okay.
It's like 8 books. So I don't remember. It's over multiple books that you change your mind.
It's a lot of books.
Oh, yeah. When I delve into a series, I'm not going for a simple one-off. Like,
I know. Yeah. That's like a episode of TV for you is one book.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Book, yeah.
I'm like,
that's
give me another.
Dude, Game of Thrones is hurting me, man. These books are so long. they're so long, and it's like, oh, 5 books. There's so many series that are bigger than that. And it's like, you get to book 3 and it's like 1,000 pages. I'm like, all right, bro, I'm reading Bible length books here. What?
Yeah, but you don't want to fall asleep when reading books. These books. Anyways,
I don't get
I'd say
joke.
Whenever I read the Bible, I always wanted to fall asleep because I thought it was so
boring.
Oh,
funny. I thought you were trying to make a Game of Thrones joke.
No.
I was like, what?
One thing that I am looking forward to this year is the Viridian Priestess is coming out with book 2. And I'm really excited because in our best of 2023, I'd said that the Viridian Priestess was one of my top things of the year. Mm-hmm. And I started it thinking it was a one-off book, not realizing like, oh, it leaves on a cliffhanger and she's coming out with another one. Well, it's due, I think, in like March of this year. So I'm like, oh, and I'm sure there's going to be more. But I hate, for me, if I know it's going to be a multiple book series, I will not start it until 3 or 4 books are out. Because I have to have some material to go back to while I'm waiting for the rest. And so there's this one book series by the same person who does like the Throne of Glass and the Court of Thorns and Roses that I haven't started yet because she only has 2 books out. And I'm like, I'm not, even though these books are very, very thick books, I'm like, I'm not doing that to myself because I know she's going to make like 7 of these books. I need at least book 3 to come out before I start them. And that's just usually the way I read books is like, if I know that, if it says like book 1 and there's only 2 books out, nah.
You're like,
skip for a few years. I'll come back to you. Which also makes trying to avoid spoilers online kind of difficult. But
yeah, that's the why I always try to, if I'm consuming a media, especially like a series, I always try to consume everything as soon as possible so that I don't get spoiled with anything.
I will say it's different for TV shows for me, because for TV shows, that's fine. We're all in this together. We'll all watch season 1 and then it'll be fine. But for books specifically, I don't know what it is, but I just like, because I feel like a lot of TV shows, they come out within like 6 months, sometimes 8 months. Whereas with books, it could be 2 years before you get a new one.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that doesn't happen with TV series either, or movies or whatever, but I feel like books are a little longer to come out. So that's why like I don't mind delving into one season of a TV show, whereas with a book, nah.
Man, I love stories.
I love stories.
I also love stories. What are some of the stories that your friends like? Like, do your friends like a lot of the same media that you guys do, or do they like something completely different?
I have friends with extremely varying tastes. Some friends who are just weebs. They are absolute 100% weebs. They will consume any type of anime that is out there, and it's ridiculous. Then I have other friends who are like, I like that trashy reality TV. I'm keeping up with The Bachelor, which is honestly the best of the trashy reality TV, but like stuff like that.
Wrong. Survivor is the best of the trashy reality TV.
That is true.
I don't think Survivor can be claimed as trashy. I think that's on another level.
And yeah, it's like game show reality.
It is. It's yeah.
But it got that drama.
All my friends are so over the... I feel like I have friends that touch base with every single piece of media that's out there. And I think my tastes are pretty different for the most part from a lot of friends that I have. Like, for example, Barry. I wouldn't recommend Barry to a lot of the friends I have because I know they just wouldn't enjoy it. Even though it's like one of my favorite things ever created, I just know other people wouldn't like it, which is okay.
My friends, the worst. Okay, my friends objectively have bad taste. Okay, it's not even subjective. It's objectively they have bad taste. Okay, they'd be listening to things. They'd be watching things like they watch. They just watch like the lowest rated horror movie and call it a day. You know, they literally. I know a group of my friends that just look for the worst horror movies they can find, and they'll watch the same ones over and over and over again. Like that's the past like 15 years. That's over half my friends do that. And it's not just like a my friends thing. It's like most of my generation, I don't know, or school, or maybe my area. I don't know what it is, but it's a very popular thing. They'll also watch really bad shows like You or Euphoria and stuff like that, like really popular teen shows that are out right now. I don't know. There's not many friends that have very similar taste to me. I don't really recommend stuff to a lot of my friends because they won't have the same appreciation I do. they usually put most things on in the background, and they'll judge it off of what's usually, it's usually hype is the biggest thing.
Yeah.
Like the Spider-Man movies.
Oh yeah, it's hype.
That my friends like the Spider-Man movies. It's always about hype and stuff like that. What's the most popular and what has a lot of crazy colors going on and stuff. They're basically the people, the normies that like corporations like just constantly feed. You know what I'm saying? That's a lot.
Here's your slop, and they're like,
they destroy that shit, bro. It's bad, man. Yeah, that's kind of their thing.
I would say a lot of my friends also really like trashy reality TV shows. And I have a few friends that are into fantasy, but they're into fantasy light, which is like Harry Potter and Game of Thrones.
Mm.
But beyond that, they're like, man, I'm good. And I have one friend at work who reads a lot of the same books that I do, but she also likes a lot of like the really trashy reality TV versions of books, if that makes sense. And I'm not a big fan of that. So I'd say, yeah, I would say you guys are probably have the most similar interests to what I like, even though you guys have wildly different interests than me. I feel like I can talk about media with you guys more so than I can with any of my other friends, just because it's just not something we all watch.
Yeah, which is, I think, totally okay. Fine. It's, I definitely like having friends with different tastes because I'll try to understand why they like something. And then oftentimes I find something that I enjoy or maybe like an element that I enjoy out of it. I don't know. I think it's always good to expand your horizons like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I only really talk to you guys about like the stuff I watch and things like that because most of my friends aren't really into anything. It's very hard to talk to them about all this kind of stuff because they don't really watch stuff, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it
kind of sucks.
That's how it be sometimes.
Well, I think that wraps up today's pretty chill podcast. It's pretty chill. Thanks for listening. What are you guys looking forward to 2024? And, you know, if you could have Star Wars and a Game of Thrones universe or Game of Thrones and Star Wars universe, which would you choose?
Or come up with your own ideas. Like,
yeah, come up with your own. Let us know.
What characters would you want to see in another universe? Boom.
Exactly. Yeah. Let's switch them up. Let's see what's going on. Well, thank you for listening. We would love to hear from you guys. You can reach us on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and Reddit over on 1L2N Productions, or hit us up on our website, which is 1L2NProductions.com.
And if you like what you were listening to today, it would be awesome if you could rate us on any podcast platform that you're listening to us on. And if you rate us and you give us a review, we will read it here. And maybe, I don't know, specify down below how you want us to read it. In a British accent, we can do that. I'd love for Liam to read the review in a British accent. That would be funny. We know he can't do one. Please do that. Please.
And if you'd like to donate to the cause of chaos, you can head on over to our Patreon. And last word of day is going to one, which is Tommy. Tommy, take it away.
When is Hollow Knight Silksong coming out? Is it coming out in 2024? Please. I've been waiting since the trailer in 2019.